For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to an episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we're welcoming back Joe Greer. Hey, Joe.
Yay. How's it going, y'all? Good to see your faces again. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Right?
You have so much to catch up on, but first, for those of our listeners who, for whatever reason, may not know you, do you mind introducing yourself and giving us a background on how you got into photography?
Sure, yeah. Joe Greer, I'm living in now, last time I did this, I was living in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot has changed, as you mentioned. So I'm now living in Franklin, Tennessee, about 30 minutes south of Nashville, where my wife, Madison, grew up. That's kind of where she's from, where her family's from. So we moved to Franklin. Wasn't planned. We just happened to be visiting her family like we do a few times a year. Mid-March 2020, the week the country shut down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be here. And we canceled our flights and tried to ride out COVID, which they all said it was going to last 2 weeks. We're like, oh, we'll just
yep.
2 weeks. And 2 weeks ended up being 3 years. So fast forward, and that's where we are now, which is, you know, it's kind of unfortunate how it happens. We didn't get to properly say goodbye to the city. Left those larger cities in those early months, but Nashville had always been the dream and plan for us when we, you know, wanted to do our New York thing and then kind of start having a family. And so kind of hindsight now is I'm really thankful that it kind of happened that way. But I've been a photographer, I don't even really know how long now, working for about 6-7 years, but I picked up an iPhone in 2011 when I was in Spokane, Washington, and started taking photos on my iPhone 4, 4S. Wow. Yep.
Nice.
Phone was always shattered.
Yep. I broke that back glass so many times on mine.
iPhone 4. Most beautiful designed iPhones ever, though.
Agreed.
Beautiful. But started taking, I was a Florida boy living out in the PNW and never seen mountains before. I had never experienced four full distinct seasons. And
wow.
A lot of it was just new. A lot of it was, I was just curious about all things landscape because I was in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. And so that just kind of, that captured my imagination. And so I was skipping out on some classes, you know, calling out sick on work so I could go check sunsets and sunrises and learn, you know, all things photography, which I knew nothing. And at times it still feels like I still know nothing, still learning and growing.
I get that, yeah.
That was a really precious time, really pure time. There was no agenda other than I, you know, enjoyed taking photographs on my phone. I had no idea what film was. I had no idea how to give me a digital camera. I'd forget about it. Couldn't really tell you how aperture worked. And so I look back on those years of just great fondness and there's just a childlikeness, a purity to it that is And now as a working photographer, and it's, you know, my income and how I pay bills and provide for my family. And I have a really good relationship with it now, and still, and I still enjoy taking photographs. And I'm very thankful that, you know, being a working photographer, it doesn't feel like work. You know, I'm very thankful that I've been able to preserve that childlikeness. And I still get excited every time the camera's in my hand. But so I started back in 2011, and just one thing led to another. And my Instagram back in the day, for whatever dumb reason, started to gain
audience.
And I'm just like, what's going on? What do I do? Because I was in the middle of college, you know, planning to be a pastor, a minister, went to Bible college. And then I graduated in 2014 and had the opportunities, like, do I go to seminary and further my education? Or do I, you know, I was working at Apple at the time, which was a cool way to kind of blend, you know, how I started my career on my phone. Yeah. So talking about photography to clients, and or do I try to apply for this job at this iPhone kind of social media editing company called Visco? And I applied just to see what happened, and I got a job and was like, okay, that's it. I'm going to go pursue this whole photography thing. And the rest was history. So during that time, I moved to to Portland for a few years, right when I met Maddie. I lived down there for 2 years, and then we're kind of done with the West Coast, and moved to New York City for 3 years, 2017 to 2020, and been in Nashville for the last 3 years. And that's just shorter. There's a much longer version, but I wrote a book about it 2 years ago, so maybe you can check that out, and that'll give you far more detailed experience of how I got into everything.
I love that you started with the iPhone, because it's like one of those things where if you're presented with a camera, in this case, the phone is the camera, and that like unlocked a whole another like life trajectory for you. Yeah. And I like, you're not the first person that we've had that kind of has that story. And I just love to hear it, because it's like almost fate. You know what I mean?
It is. I mean, it really was. I think I tell people this too. It happened at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Just if there was a few little things that were different. For example, the school I went to, the main campus is in downtown Chicago. So everybody applies to that that campus, and they have, because they're in downtown Chicago, I mean, really the heart of downtown.
Yeah.
They have max, you know, a number of students they can accept for lodging and stuff. So I didn't make it and got sent to their satellite second campus in Spokane, Washington.
Wow.
Which I was so upset about and frustrated. Yeah. I didn't even know that existed. So when I got that letter, it was just a weird, it's like, oh, you're not good enough, but we're going to send you this one. And I was crushed, but honestly, it turned out to be the greatest thing that had ever happened. If I would have gotten accepted into Chicago, I wouldn't have experienced the landscape, that majestic landscape that captured my imagination in the way that it did. I would have been in downtown. Maybe I would have been exposed to street photography and architecture, but it wouldn't have had the same effect. And the way that at the time, 2010, when I moved out there, Instagram had just come out, late 2010.
Yep.
I got onto it 2011. So it was just, it was the perfect storm. Like, I was in the right part of the country at the right time with the iPhones coming out and the cameras. Yeah. You know, it's just, again, if I would have gotten to Chicago, I honestly don't think I would be where I'm at in my career.
Wow.
Like, I needed to be thrown into that immersive, beautiful, vast landscape to pique the curiosity for me. Landscape photography was my intro into the space. It was my first love. And so, yeah, I think about that all the time.
How it's crazy.
Different life would be if I never went to Spokane. But yeah, or started on the iPhone. So I'm so thankful for it. You know, and I think too now, like, iPhones are getting so ridiculous, and shooting maybe shooting 8K soon. You know, who knows? Maybe there's gonna be an option where the iPhone can shoot film soon. It's just but it's just so cool that, you know, I still share a bunch of iPhone stuff online. I think just because it's so relatable, everybody has it, and you know, makes you know, younger photographers that are self-taught like myself and entering the space that, like, oh, this is achievable. Like, this, I can do. You know, I can do this. You know, and that's the iPhone, it holds a very special place in my heart, and I always use it. It's always on me. You know, it's great.
Mm.
Especially for documenting, like, your new role as a dad. Yeah. I find when I first became a mom, I was very conflicted about, like, well, it has to be all on film. It has to be, you know? And it's like, it doesn't. Because you want the memory in the photo, and if you can't grab the film camera, your phone is always there, you know?
Yep. I've dreamt about this moment for a long time, especially since being a photographer, of, you know, having our first child. And I have shot so little film in the last month.
Yeah, And
I thought I was just going to be just, but that's not how it works, especially.
Nope.
And that was silly of me. I mean, I've taken some photos here and there, but for the most part, it's been 90%, 95% iPhone stuff. So I think, you know, once he gets a little bit older and can walk and having conversations, I think that's when I'll really kind of press into a more documentary style approach. But right now it's just trying to survive, trying to help as much as I can, being present and getting stuff I can. So the iPhone's just great for, just quick stuff when he does something silly or funny. It's great.
So from when you had the iPhone, did you ever get the, like, when did the camera come into play? When did somebody say, okay, you got to upgrade, here's a camera, you know?
Here's a camera.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So when I got that job in Visco this August 2014 and moved down to Colorado Springs for it, left Spokane to go down there, that trip, that first week, I was like, I probably should buy a big boy camera. And I just had a few friends who had DSLRs and they were all on Canon. They're Canon guys. And so so I bought, I think, a 5D Mark II Nifty 50, and that was it. And I'm just like, I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, it was just kind of collecting dust. I had it and I was trying to get familiar with it and learn the language and figure out the ecosystem of it all. And, but I would still just gravitate towards the iPhone. And Visco was a phone app. So I was just around those devices and around that train of thought every day for 5 days a week. And I shoot when I can. But then I got film in 2015, a year later. And so that kind of just, then I was kind of doing both. So 2014, right when I moved down to Colorado was when I, that was my intro into a real camera, and just hated it, honestly.
Oh, that's right. I remember this. I remember this part of your story. Didn't your wife get you an AE-1 for your, for the wedding?
Hey.
For a wedding. Yeah, this is all coming back to me now. To me now.
Yeah, we were dating, or engaged, I think, and I just made an off comment to her. I was like, oh, man, I'd love to start shooting film someday. That'd be so cool. And she just put that away. And our wedding day, we got married in Iceland on our wedding day. I had this little gift, and it was, I think it was a 50 mil lens, an AE-1, and like three rolls of film or something. And I just lost it. I was so stoked. And we were going to Paris for our honeymoon, so it was just going to be so excited. And then the very unfortunate part of that story is that I 2.5 of those three rolls from my honeymoon were blank. So I 16 shots, which was traumatic. And I was this close from giving up on film. There was a few weeks where I didn't even touch it. I was so frustrated and angry. And I was like, I just got to keep going. It's part of the process. Let me just keep plugging away here and see if I can figure it out. And then I'm very thankful that happened. I didn't give it up.
Anytime I am helping a friend like get into film photography and they're like, I got this roll came back blank, I'm like, yay, like, welcome. You've been
welcome
initiated.
Probably first. That way, hopefully, it doesn't happen much.
Yeah. So good. Everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer of that.
Absolutely. I think that was something that needed to happen. You know, it's very unfortunate that it was during a very memorable moment. But I do have a handful of photographs from that trip too, so that those are very special, and those mean a lot to me. Just those handful of
I feel like
it's from my first roll of film ever. So it's they're very special. Yeah.
It makes those 16 like sacred, you know,
100%. Yeah, and one of my favorite portraits of Maddie is on those 16 frames. So I think it'd be really cool too for Oliver just to show him down the road. You know, one of the first film photos I ever took of him back in 2015. I think it'd be really special.
Man,
wow.
This kid's going to have a lot of stuff to look back on. That's so cool.
I know.
He's going to be the most documented child. I'm going to just become a kid photographer. Like, that's all I'm going
to. Yep.
It's been so inspiring, too. Like, as I've entering this space, and Chris, I don't know if you did this, looked at this, too, but like I have just like started collecting photo books of magnum photographers working documentary style photographers that had children and just switched and just for 2 decades. Documented their children's life and then books. So I've collected these books and just to study that intimate body of work and to know what's possible. I'm just so excited for the next few decades just to plug away, just keep working, archive, put away, just build a body of work, study. I have a front row seat to his life. And so I just cannot wait to see the things that he gets into, the things that he's interested in, that we do together, that I take him on, or that I just cannot wait to, through all the work that'll come my way, to just like constantly add to this beautiful project. I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
The one thing that I'm I like am actively trying to do is I'm taking like one, there's a couple different every year photos, you know? Oh, so like first I have of the day we went to the, my listeners probably know the story. I think I've told it, but the day, cause my son was two weeks early too.
Okay.
We had to get induced. So, and long story short, we weren't sure that that doctor's appointment was, we were going to be told that that was the day. So we were like, well, and I said, well, I want to get this one photo of us in the mirror before we go. Like it's a maternity picture where he's like holding my belly. Yeah. And turns out they were like, yeah, he's got to come out. So we went right to the hospital and I was like, I'm so glad I took that 15 minutes to take those photos. And now I've done it at a year old. I'm going to do it at 2, 3, 4.
Special. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Love that.
So good. Man.
So with being a dad, how's the work thing? I mean, I know you took some time off. You haven't been working. How does going back to work looking for you? Is that something you're going to try to not do as much now that you're, what are you looking at for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I think that's, I almost missed the birth of my son. It was a last minute job. Oliver was 3 weeks early. And so this job came through and I was like, it was in Sydney and Germany. So I had to go to both these locations, like back to back. So like a 10-day window. I was like, I don't want to risk this. We're getting really close, but this last job will allow me to just relax throughout the summer for June and July and part of August to like not have to feel the pressure needing to take this job if it's a travel job or if it's going to take me away from Madison and Oliver. So I was like, let's just do this last one. And thankfully, I get home Tuesday night. Maddie's water breaks Wednesday night. And thankfully, I made the birth of my son. That would have been heartbreaking. But so that allowed me for this month now. He just turned a month old to just like chill, be here, be present. We've had the help of Madison's parents. So that's been incredibly helpful. They live in the same town as us. And it's been so sweet and I probably won't do much in July in terms of just like classic commercial work. And we have a family trip to Florida the first week of August. But the thing what's great about this is giving me all the time to focus on my next book. My attention, which I'm working on now. I've just started that process. And so I think this is the perfect window for me to like, I don't have these edits to get to clients. I don't have to rush or travel to do this. It's like, okay, aside from Madison and Oliver, which is my main priority, I'm home, I'm present, I'm around all of my work, which will be on India. So I'm just like going through all this curation now. And so it's just so great that I can be here, be with Oliver, be with Maddie, and then also work on this book and start putting this body of work together. But I'm also launching some camera straps with a friend in Louisville, Kentucky, 3 hours north. So I can do day trips to kind of be a part of that. So that's still kind of local. So those are two things that I'm still working, but it's a different time, right? And so that's very exciting for me that I don't have to travel right now, that I can be present.
I mean,
So I'm so thankful for it. So I'm just going to milk that till probably August, mid-August, and then I'm shooting a buddy's wedding and on Lake Como in Italy on film in September, which I don't shoot weddings, but he's a close friend. And so that's my first kind of job back
at it. Yeah.
Which will be a good 3 months. So that's kind of the plan right now.
That's a great way to ease into it too. Yeah.
I think so. You know, I know it's not the case for everybody, but I just made sure to like, okay, these first few months of his life, I just want to be here, be present, help Maddie out as much as I can.
Yeah.
Totally.
We'll figure it out later with work. So, but
do you want to talk to us more about your straps? That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's super. It's been a long journey. I feel like, I had a friend make me a strap back in like late 2018, 2019. I worked at Visco together. His father's in leather. He had made leather products and straps. So I was like, August, listen, here's what I need. Because at the time, like, I was like tying knots in my long strap.
Wow, really?
And it's just buckle and just like, I had, an M6 and I had like a Hexar. So I was like building, on some jobs and trips and stuff. And I had to like tie it to get it to the right length. Or even when I didn't, I just had one camera. I didn't like how long it sat. It was like hitting my lower gut. And it was just, it does its job and it swings and my neck was hurting a lot. And I was like, man, I really like, why can't, and you just could not find, at that time, could not find a short strap. That did not exist.
Yeah, especially for people who are short, like it would hang even lower for me sometimes.
True.
I didn't think of that. And I get people like that. People like the crossbody, people like older, people, I understand people have different ways to use and wear a strap. But I just, and I was looking back at a lot of the old photos of Bresson and Gordon Parks, and like they all had short straps. Yeah. And then for some reason, they just disappeared. You can't find them. Wow. And it was long, big old buckle, just like thick straps for like a 35mm camera. It's like, that looks ridiculous. Like, what do you need a strap that big for a camera that small? And just even the aesthetic and the way that things looked, it just didn't look proportionally correct to things. And I was like, I just want this thin, smooth, beautiful leather. And he made one. And I had just been, after that, I posted about this, but like that was the most asked question I've gotten for the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, strap? What length is that strap? How do I get that strap? Who made it? And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like I had no clue that that's what would happen. And so 2020, I was like, oh, maybe I could, you know, try to do a strap thing. And it just kept hitting delays. And it just wasn't, I wasn't finding the right kind of connection and partnership. And then finally, I made a connection with some folks 3 hours north in Louisville, and who already kind of doing their own thing, their own leather camera product thing. And they're, you know, had reached out. I was like, we'd love to make this strap happen with you. And so we've been working on that the last 6-7 months. As I have been using the strap for 5 years now, I see how it's aged. It's incredibly smooth and beautiful. So working on getting the right length and the sizes and figuring that out, because it's like you just mentioned, people have different sizes. They're different shoulder sizes, different height, different neck widths, things I have to consider, different chest sizes. And so figuring out, like, how is it going to sit? Making sure that, you know, there's two ways that I wear this. It's around my neck. I don't get why people don't like the short straps, or some people are against it, but it's, I can walk and I can literally, it's so close to my eye, because when it's down here, hip, so much has to happen.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much movement and distraction for your subject on the streets. If I'm here, I can shoot from the hip, kind of, and have a pretty close true to eye perspective, or I'm just like, I'm walking and I can just move, and because I'm zone focusing usually. But if I'm here, because I sometimes want that eye perspective, but I can't get it if it's down by my hip, and I have to, it's just, and again, it's only a split second, but photos come and go in a split second.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But also, it feels so much more comfortable as it's higher. Maybe that's a gravity thing. When it's lower, more weight is kind of making it swing around and bounce around. This does not move when I'm walking. It doesn't bounce like it is when it's like down by your hip level. Huh. And so that's a big reason why I enjoy this length, but then also I can easily wrap around my wrist and use it like this. So it's been on my camera for the last 5 years, and it's been exciting that people want that and people see the use of a short strap, and but also it's a nod to the goats that have gone before us.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And so I know now there are other companies making short straps, because I feel like people realize that that's a really natural way to carry your camera and to shoot, especially if you're kind of into street photography. But and then I'm super excited. Don't want to say too much as it launches soon, but then there'll be different lengths. I'm gonna create a stackable option for people who have multiple cameras, and that
cool.
Ooh,
so you don't have to tie knots and this bulge on the back of your neck. But like, if you're shooting different focal lengths, different film stocks, you can do that, which is so easy to just move in and out. It's a very fluid system. So, very excited, pumped that people are excited about it. Never thought I'd ever do anything like this. Like, I'm just do my photo jobs, take photos, and to be in a business like this is just weird, because I'm not a business guy. I'm not business savvy. So it's I was stoked to do something different, but also kind of related to photography. So I'm pumped.
Love it.
Yeah, exciting. It's so good to do things like that for photography. You know, it feels good to kind of give back to the community in a way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and that's great. Stackable, because there's nothing worse than your cameras being the same length, clanking on each other. Like, that's me every time I go for a walk, because I have two of the exact same straps, and it's like boom, boom, boom the whole time.
And or if it's like on your shoulders, right? You got to do this one, put that down, and you got to do this. I just photographed the Kentucky Derby, and I had it, and I was testing it out, and it was just so fluid for me to just move between the two, swap lenses if I wanted to put a wider length on a black and white when I had color.
Cool.
Yeah, very fluid. And I'm excited for people to see that. And because I know so many of us have multiple cameras that we like to use, different film stocks and focal lengths. And so I want that to, it has made my life so much easier and so much more fluid and just organic. And I can move between scenes or film stocks or focal lengths in a very fluid way. But when you've got all these different lengths and cameras, it's just it's madness. So very excited for what's ahead, and pumped to be partnering with Clever Supply, and they're excited about it too, and they're local kind of, so I can,
yeah,
I'm going to be making a lot of the straps by hand. I'm going to head up there and help make a lot of these, which is
cool,
beautiful part of the process for me. And yeah, handmade here in the United States. And so I'm excited for people to have.
Amazing. Man. Cannot wait. I signed up yesterday when it dropped. I was like, me.
send me all the way. So cannot.
Love it. Love it.
I wanted to ask you, obviously things have, we've all grown since the last time we've talked, work-wise too. You've done a lot of video stuff on your Instagram. Is that something that took you by surprise? Is that something that you are going to lean into more on these travels? Or is it just kind of a fun thing you're doing for Instagram right now?
Just, you mean like the iPhone videos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really great.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, they are really good.
I'll say to you guys. I mean, I've just, ever since, Instagram dropped, IG stories back in 2016 or whenever that was. That was just a fun way to just document life or some of the scenes I'm seeing and I'm making still photographs of. And so I would always, shoot on my travels and trips, these vertical videos that really have no other purpose aside from Instagram stories. I'm not uploading that anywhere else. Mm. But a year or two ago, it was my second trip to India. I started sharing kind of really detailed behind the scenes of, my 2 weeks there and just saw so many people engage with these videos, stories, and video portraits. I was like, oh man, there's something here. And so I just kept on doing that. And then I did a little this last year, a recap of 2022 iPhone video series, and it just exploded. I had a little whiteboard like I do with my photos. And then it just was a really beautiful way I don't really think about it like that. Let me just share some videos and of some moments and scenes that I've made photographs of. And it's just a fun way. I have just found the perfect rhythm. I don't even think about it. If I'm shooting and I find something, I'll get a photo and I'll just pull my phone real quick. And maybe that's just being familiar with the device for 11 years or 12 years now. It's just very fluid process now.
Yeah.
See something and I know that there's enough time for me to get around 20 seconds to get a photograph and a video. I'll pull it out and get it. And so I'm just kind of, I don't really think about it. To answer your question, I hadn't really thought about it like that. It's just, I like to document things in motion, and I don't need to carry around a big DSLR to do that. Yeah. The iPhones now shoot 4K, 8K now.
Yep.
The devices are getting better and better and better, and so the video quality is outstanding. And so I just think it's a fun way to share from, people know me primarily as a photographer, but to see some of these photographic scenes that I document in motion, it just brings a little bit more emotion to it and a little bit more realness, and it's fun to just share those every now and then.
Yeah, it's also the sounds and everything. It really brings you in. It's very cool.
And that's another thing too. I think why people enjoy it is just because it's no fancy camera. It's just literally your iPhone. We all have it. You're watching that video on your iPhone, so you can do that too. People think I'm using all these crazy equipment, and it's just literally the native camera roll on the iPhone.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Are you using any special app or anything that, or no? That's amazing. Wow.
I think the biggest thing is just a steady hand. The cameras now have stabilization software in it. So it's you can literally walk with it and it's fine. But it's just stable, obviously recognizing good light. That's the biggest thing. If there's really beautiful dynamic light, the video's going to look ridiculous. But that's it.
Cool.
Wild. Man, so cool.
I wanted to ask also, your first book, are you going to do a second edition because I missed it.
I was going to ask that earlier.
That is definitely something I plan to do. I would say probably in the next year or two. That is, definitely wasn't something I was ever planning on, but to realize how many people still ask and I still get emails, I still get DMs. And I have, I think, only 4 copies left, which are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Put them in the vault, man.
No. That I absolutely want to do a second edition, and I'll make it hardcover. I will probably add about another 14, 16 photos, because the first book is from my time in New York just before the pandemic started, so it's 2017, 2020. I've done several trips to New York since, and so I think I want to add another 14, 16 photographs.
Oh, cool.
Since the pandemic.
Yeah,
I have made just a new little, nice little addition to that second edition hard copy, so that definitely is the plan in the next few years, but not right now. I'm working on something else, but it's definitely the plan. You know, I would love to get that book.
It's a coveted book, man. It's because you can't find it anywhere. It's not on eBay. It's not, I mean, you can't find it anywhere.
I've seen a few on eBay and like for $150, I'm like, that is stupid.
Oh, no way.
No dumb. That, I mean, I get it, I guess, but I cannot believe it. Sometimes I'll see it every now and then, or I was just in Australia and one of my friends had it, and or the guy that was kind of giving me a tour, he had it. So I'm just like, it's just wild to see that work make its way at different parts of the world. I'm just very grateful that it happened that way. I was just my little goodbye letter to the city, and I'm thankful that people are excited about it. So I definitely want to make a second edition, because it would be really special for that to people who haven't gotten it, like yourself, Chris, which is I'll make sure I get a copy to you as soon as I can.
It's funny with like the photo book collecting. I feel like I'm always like, okay, yeah, that's on my list. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go get it. And I'm like,
and
oh,
it's
no,
gone. Yep.
It's gone.
Yep.
But that's the fun part, I guess. The chase, you know?
Oh,
now I got to like be on the lookout.
It's the best. Yep. Collecting photo books is the greatest thing.
It's one of my favorite things ever.
It's not free education. I mean, we're paying money to get these books, but yeah. To have at your fingertips at all times, that amount of inspiration and diverse.
Yeah.
So many incredible books out there now. I mean, every year, new bodies of work that are being produced from talented, incredible photographers all over the world. It's just, it's wild what we have at our grasp that we can, you know, buy a collection of photographs from a photographer based in Japan and will be at our doorstep in five days or 4 days.
I know, it's nuts.
There's so much out there. So yeah, collecting and buying photo books and study them is the greatest way to grow as a photographer and to grow quickly. It'll train your eye to see things and in new ways, or to see old things in new ways. It's really special.
So true. I'm going down that rabbit hole. There's going to be books showing up in my house. My husband's be like, what the hell?
Yep.
I thought we don't have any more room. And I'm like, I know.
Getting a new shelf.
Yeah. I also want to ask, I know you've done some teaching through some different outlets.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll ever like do a workshop just you know, through like
in
you
person.
Without, yeah, like in person, especially now since the pandemic is over. Well,
right. Yeah, that is definitely the goal. I have a YouTube thing. I've done stuff kind of online, but I'm a hands-on in person. That is just how I work the best. I would much rather sit across from somebody, look them in their eyes, you know, be in the same room with a group of people, to feel their questions, to look at their work in person, and that is the atmosphere that I love. I have yet to do something like that. I've recently had a show in at a like store in Germany and did two kind of workshops.
It was a
few hours thing, just kind of wetting my palate a little bit in that space, which was kind of nerve wracking because I don't have a curriculum. I haven't written anything out. It's just sharing my perspective, but had incredible feedback, learned a lot. Some things I probably won't do again that I learned from the first time, but no, that is definitely the goal. And I think there could be a workshop happening in Germany in that same location. When I was there, I made some incredible connections with some people that I think would be a perfect space. I'd love to do a workshop in India at some point. I'd love to do some here in the States. Nashville is a great place. We've got some opportunities for street photography, and it's my home turf. So I think anytime, that's definitely the goal. That is the dream. No more kind of like, I don't want to ever say no, but definitely want to stay away from the online type workshops to do the more in-person week, long weekend, 4 day. Weekend. Just hit the ground running, learn, do some portfolio reviews, and hopefully partner with a lab that people shoot film that can get a process and we can look at the end of the week. And so I'm definitely, that's the plan over the next few years, is to step into that space. Cause I think it's just like, people want to see photographers work. See how they interact on the streets. I get inspired when I see other photographers working in the streets, and how do they get that photo? How do they interact with their subjects? I know that that's very beneficial for a lot of people. Especially as photographers, we're all visual people,
right?
And a lot of us are visual learners, and in person learner. That's how I thrive, is in those kind of environments. So that's definitely the goal. Definitely the plan.
It'd be a good thing to do it now that Oliver is here too. You can, you know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that's like one of my favorite things I'm so excited about. There's like an iconic photo of Gary Winogrand and his daughter like on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's like, I think when he was living in LA, and he was just like out there shooting, just was like, I cannot wait for that age.
With the kid, yeah.
Cool, like 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, just to he wants to go out and work with Dad for a little bit and just throw him on.
Oh. I'd be like, hold on, buddy.
Yeah. it's gonna be really special. But yeah.
That's why I always loved the street. What was the, why am I blanking on the name of your series that you did on YouTube?
Oh, Street Diaries.
Yeah, Street Diaries. I'm like thinking Street Dreams. Yeah, that's why I really love that, because seeing how you get the photos that we all see, you know, having that, you know, point of view perspective and stuff. I was such a fan of that series when you started doing it. You just learned so much watching a photographer work. You know what
that's
I mean?
It.
You really do.
Likewise. Yeah, that's like we've all learned that way. I'll go back and I'll watch old videos of Meyerowitz or Winograd. Oh my gosh. And I've totally stolen stuff from that they've done in terms of body language and interact with people. And I filmed a few in Japan. I filmed a few in India. But I'm the worst editor.
Yeah.
Photographer on YouTube, but like I feel horrible for people, anybody that follows me, because I'm very inconsistent. So I got to get on that and work on those videos and get those out. But it's a fun way to showcase, you know, the workflow. But there's so many talented photographers on YouTube doing just that and showing those kind of perspectives as well. So
yeah, it was awesome to see you with Pauly too. Love that. Yeah. Love that series he does, like walkie talkie. I mean, just
genius.
Yeah. So like, I wish I thought of that. I wish I lived in New York and I thought of that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Pauly's great. He's been a close friend. He's one of my first friends in the city when I moved there in 2017. And he is just one of the hardest workers I know. And to see him grind for so long before that took off. And it just so well deserved, and so I'm so stoked for his success, and every episode's amazing, and all these characters that he has on are just fascinating.
Yeah, I know.
I was just recently in New York, and I was like, I want to like run into Pauly.
Yeah, where
and, like,
are they
what,
at? Where
see
they at?
These, where is everybody? Where are y'all?
Super cool. And I hope he kind of takes it broader soon.
Yeah.
Go to London, do some of those, or
yeah.
West Coast and our different parts of the country. So I think if he can. I think that's a big next step for him. I hope he does that.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm dropping those little things in his ear every now and then. I was like, dude, you got to go to different, good. Do a city tour. And so I think it'd be really special. So I'm hoping he's planning that.
Man, do you still miss the community in New York City? Like,
I miss that. I miss, because I don't shoot much street here.
Yeah.
Sure as heck don't shoot any street in Franklin. I think that's just like, you know, this is home. New York was home and I still shot it, but it's just different. It's much slower, much smaller community here. So Nashville's a great down there on Broadway. I went pretty hard in 2021 on that, and then kind of got burnt out because it's just a 3-block stretch of a bunch
so short.
Of bachelorettes and cowboy hats. Everybody's drunk. And so I was like, all right, I'm burnt out on that. So I didn't do it last year. And I may try to get into it a little bit this summer and just see how it feels again. But I definitely miss the camaraderie of New York. I miss at any time when I wasn't working for doing a shoot for Maddie or editing for a client or not traveling, I was grabbing my camera, a few rolls, and I was out. You know, I was just walking, no purpose, no agenda, not trying to see anything specific, just feeling that energy of the city. So I definitely miss that. I miss that a lot. And then out there, I'd bump into Pauly and Dustin and Andre, friends.
Yeah.
And so I definitely miss that, but I'm thankful for modern technology and I get to see them and see what they're doing. And I go to the city often. It's only an hour and a half flight. From where I'm at. So it's New York will always be a special place and a big part of my career and my life. And so I'll be going back often. But yeah, miss it for sure. They got a good community up there. And there's just so many new photographers out there that weren't there pre-pandemic. I think just as I'm talking to Pauly and some of these folks that they're like, oh, the pandemic just changed. So many new photographers kind of came up during those few years when New York was going through it. And it's so cool to see new faces in the space. Because back then it was kind of really smaller, more tight knit, like 20, 30 of us maybe. And now it's like triple that. And so it's the city kind of exploding with a lot of new perspectives photographically.
I think that's one good thing the pandemic did was kind of gave everybody that, you know, it's time to do something. It's like one of those, you know, kind of shit or get off the pot situations of if you want to pursue something, you gotta do it type thing.
Yeah, just because you can see how things can change.
Yeah.
100%.
Flip of a switch. So I think that just like lit that fire and a lot of people's ass to just like do it. Like whatever that dream was to go out to move to the city and to become a street photographer, like people did that move and made that move and took that jump. And so it's cool to see that people are kind of chasing their dreams. I mean, that's what it should be all about.
Definitely.
Always.
Yeah, and it always bums me out because I literally, you moved into Franklin and I moved out of Franklin right at the same time. Love that little town. Like, I documented it for 10 years strong. Like, I was the only dude running around, you know, I would just lap Main Street, you know, down from Starbucks all the way down to the pizza shop down there, Mellow Mushroom, flying around. Like, I can't wait to finally, it still hurts a little bit when I look at that stuff just from leaving it so abruptly because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And
oh, so is that when you left Franklin?
Yeah, yeah.
You went back to, I actually don't know where, are you still in Nashville?
I'm in Pennsylvania. No? Yeah, I'm in PA now. Yeah, I'm about an hour away from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Know, right near Hershey Park, if you've ever been to Hershey Park.
Okay, sweet.
But, wow. Yeah.
I know you guys just missed each other. It's
kind of
crazy.
I know, it was literally like, we were in and I was out. It was crazy.
Oh my God. Bummer. That is a big bummer.
Yeah. I mean, that's life. C'est la vie. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
We'll be right back with a couple listener questions for Joe right after this message from our sponsor.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We develop some film. We talk shop. We laugh. It's just a blast. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take, we're going to take a couple questions this time because we got literally 1.7 million questions for Joe, but we take a question from our listeners, and the first question's coming from former guest Raph at 2071 Photo, and he wanted to know, he says, congrats on your success. Besides family and faith, what is your biggest motivator?
It's a great question. Yeah, because those other two things are very big motivators.
Yeah, they're usually the dominant.
That'll usually do it, especially now with my son here. That has just lit a fire into me that is previously did not have access to that kind of motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as any parent that may be listening that's in the photo space probably definitely knows what that feels like. And so that is something that is still so new and fresh to me that I'm just like, I feel like a superhuman. I just want to do so much for him and for our family. So that's a big motivator. But I'd say outside of those two things, for a long time, I have just been motivated by the end of my life, I just want to have seen and photographed well over the course of my life. I view photography as a marathon. And unfortunately, a lot of photographers, talented photographers, treat it as a sprint. And they're just quickly trying to get that trend, get that next big thing. And but like, as a photographer, as long as my eyes and my mind and my hands work and none of that goes, I'll be making photographs until the day I die. And so for me, it's like, how can I make a body of work that will stand the test of time? That is a massive motivator for me. It's like, I got into it because of the trends and because of those things that was new to the space. Instagram was this weird, new Wild Wild West app. Everybody was growing. And so I had to take a lot of time to unlearn some very toxic and unhealthy habits. But now I'm in such a beautiful headspace with social media and with Instagram. But now it's just like, how can I make a body of work that's just historical for this time? My little blip on the long timeline of human history, where I'm here during this time. Like, can I be a successful working photographer for 5-6 decades? And I see some of the photographers that are in their 80s now or that have since gone and are no longer with us. They have done that. And so that's a goal. That is a motivator for me. That like I have that bug, that itch, that I'm obsessed and possessed with photography. That like it's yes, I'm very thankful that it pays my bills, but I enjoy making photographs so much that like I hope that joy is still there when I'm 50, when I'm 60 and 70, and I'm old and I'm hopefully still mobile and can walk around and take.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just leaving behind a beautiful, diverse body of work that just showcases my time here on this planet, which is kind of a weird thing to be motivated by. But and now that I'm into running and marathoning, that's a beautiful just metaphor for, I think that bleeds into my photography life so fluidly that photography is a marathon. And I'm motivated by that journey, by that long grind. You just got to keep going. You got to keep moving. When it gets hard, it's going to get hard and you're going up those uphills. You just got to keep driving because every uphill has a downhill. And so for me is, just treating this craft as a marathon, not a sprint. And that has put me in a really beautiful headspace.
I love that. And I will say, I'm grateful that photography found me too, because I feel like, you know, we all go through, you know, heartbreak and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the photography has been like the constant thing for me that, like, I know that that's like my best friend, like my soulmate. Nobody can take that away from me.
Right.
And I'm so grateful that that passion is just there. I don't know why, where it came from. Nobody else in my family is a photographer, not really like creative. Nobody's, you know, but I don't know how it happened, but I'm so thankful. And I will be taking photos the day I die as well.
Totally. Well, fortunately, there's probably one person that could take it away from you. And if Kodak keeps raising their prices, they can, you know, let's hope that doesn't happen. But
yeah.
Well, I'll be shooting black and white soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Great answer. Very good answer.
Very good answer.
We'll hit you with another one if that's cool.
Sure.
And this one comes from Drews.darkroom. And they ask, Joe, you're a photography icon. How do you focus on creativity rather than chasing trends?
Well,
this is a struggle for all of us, I'm sure, but yeah.
Yeah. I thankfully had to answer this question years ago. It's kind of at a crossroads, just about the time I moved to New York in 2017. At that time, I was leaving a very trendy part of the country, that PNW kind of landscape vibes. Mm-hmm. If you were on Instagram during those days and were into photography, you saw a lot of those kind of photographs. And I was a part of that language and that community. I think moving to New York City allowed me to leave that very trendy part of the country and to just have a totally new frame of mind and being exposed to the diverse, quick pace, fast paced streets of New York City allowed me to not run the risk of following those trends that I was in for a long time. You know, I had to unlearn a lot of unhealthy habits that Instagram taught me in my early days.
Yeah.
That was that time, like 2017, which is a beautiful year of deconstructing what I thought photography was, what I thought success was, what I thought longevity in the photography space was, and being thrown into a city like New York where no matter how good I was or how good I got, I was never going to be the best at what I did in that city. There was always going to be somebody better than me, working, hustling me, seeing things better than me, seeing things faster than me. And so that just was infectious to me, and that just motivated me. So I think for me, it's I really don't focus about trying to be creative. I think this just goes into my philosophy on photography is I do not like being thrown into a box as like Joe Greer, the street photographer. I know a lot of people may see me as that, or Joe Greer, the landscape photographer, or Joe, the dude who just takes photos of his wife, Joe that now runs and takes photos of running or whatever. So I, as long as the camera is in my hand, I want to be confident that I can make a photograph in any space. I think a lot of photographers, unfortunately, we put ourselves in these boxes and we are pigeonholed and we can only make photographs with natural light, or we can only make photographs in a studio with artificial light, or we can only make photographs if it's a beautiful model, or we can only make photographs if it's a landscape. And so when we're thrown into the different environments, we just don't know how to see that. And that was my case back in 2015. I had a friend who is a working photographer, still a close friend of mine, gave me that advice. And he was like, Joe, like, find the thing that you want to photograph and make money with and stay in that lane. He has done that and has been very successful, but that's the only thing he does. And I tried that. I was like, this is not it. This cannot be. I was plagued by the thought that in 60 years, I get to the end of my life, or when I live into my 90s or later, and I look back on my body of work and just like, I can't even,
I'm
terrified of the thought to think back like, man, I'm just so glad I shot all those landscapes for 60 years and didn't do anything, didn't dabble in street, didn't dabble in literature, didn't dabble in travel or commercial work. And so I just, photography is a massive, massive highway with many lanes. And I think we can and should, I encourage people to change lanes and to step into different spaces. You'll learn quickly. We'll learn quickly what we don't enjoy or don't like. You know, I usually don't shoot weddings. That's one thing unless it's a close friend or family member. But I usually don't like studio shooting. That's just that kind of studio editorial stuff just doesn't get me excited. It doesn't for me. So there are things that I've recognized that are not for me, but then there are other spaces that I love landscape. I love the street. I love portraits. I love documentary style stuff. I love travel. And so I think that has allowed me to just keep going and to just continue to learn and grow and make mistakes and to learn from those mistakes. And so I'm rarely thinking about trying to be creative. It's just like my life has thrown me a bunch of crazy shit. And I know you're probably doing the same thing. And so I just learned to embrace whatever life is throwing at me with my camera and to see what I can make. And so I'm not trying to make, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of where.
Oh, totally. Totally makes sense.
Yeah, it's great advice. And, you know, I find too, even the way we present ourselves, how we say people, well, what do you do? I find myself saying I'm a set photographer because then I could talk about that work and that makes sense to people. Or when I was shooting weddings, I'm a wedding photographer.
Yep.
Now I just say I'm a photographer and then people say, what kind? And then I could talk about, I do this, I do this, but then I do my personal work. You know, it's opens up.
That's it.
Do not put yourself.
No, because there's so many opportunities and jobs that I've had because they have seen me, whether it's on my website or Instagram. Oh, he can do that. He can do this. Oh, he's done that before. And so that has allowed me to have all these incredible opportunities that if I would have listened to my friend back in 2015, I would have been stuck doing this one thing and maybe I would have been happy and successful, but totally. I'm so much happier now that I get to I feel confident that when this camera is in my hand, you throw in any situation scenario, I feel confident that I'm going to be able to make a photograph that I am excited about. And I think that is the key. That is the trick. And that to not be terrified. I've been on a set. First job, 2020, or middle of pandemic, was on a set. No light. They wanted me to shoot it. It's like a Hollywood studio, in one of those freaking garages. And I just shoot it entirely on film. And they were, which was exciting, but also I'm pushing everything to 3200 ISO.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy what those cameras shoot in the dark.
Yes.
I feel like you shooting this in the dark, shooting on film. I 3200.
So that was
all
I was
day.
Terrified.
Yeah.
I was it's just late 2020, early 2021, and I was oh man, dude, I'm gonna make it till I make. I'm gonna pretend I'm not freaking out here and it worked out. It's just I was terrified of that opportunity and that job. I could easily be like, I need some lighting. I need more lighting here.
Yeah.
But I was just like, no, let me just see what happens. And I just kind of taking those risks. And when those challenges and opportunities come, just believing in yourself and believing in what you've learned up to that point and taking a risk. But yeah.
I love it.
Good answer. All right. We're going to do one more. Final question.
Okay.
This one comes from Paris Edmond. And he wanted to know why the 50 millimeter.
Yeah, it's a recent development.
Very recent. And I have been this is funny, because I've been so anti-50 for so long.
Yes.
People may know me, I'm notoriously a 28 guy. I think that comes because I started on the iPhone. I felt close to 28 focal length. It's I was trained to see and how I was trained to see. And so 28 was just a very natural way. 35. So I have it, but there's so many times where I'm like, I wish I
just not enough.
Yep.
Yeah. A little bit more room. But then just something clicked a few months ago where I'm trying to remember specifically if there was a moment or if I was just like, you know what? I'm trying to think back real quick. The first time I shot the 50 was for the Kentucky Derby, which was in early May or late April. I can't remember. And I had a friend had it and I was able to borrow it. And I was like, I think with the Derby and how big the space is, I think that could be really fun. And I had the 28 and the 50. That was it. And so I had no idea. I didn't test it out. Didn't do a test roll to see kind of what compositionally things would look like. I just kind of took the jump and was very surprised that I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I hate to admit it because I've been such an anti-50 guy. But now I get, because also then just thinking back on Henri Cartier-Bresson's career, and the majority of his career was on a 50.
Right.
I'm just like, how, because especially me, I see the street in a 28, and I think on Robert Capa, if your photos aren't good enough, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
And there's only so close you can get with the 50 before, things. So I just kind of took a jump and really enjoyed how everything looked with that, Kentucky Derby photo set. And And so now I'm a big fan of the 50. I think I just wanted, doing the 28 for so long, I just wanted a change of pace.
Yeah.
35.
Yeah.
I have it if I need it, having the 1.4, but I still gravitate towards the 28. But to have that contrast of the 50 is really nice. And I was really proud with how much I enjoyed it. And just be able to stack things and compose things in a really stackable way. And do that with 28. And I like getting close to my subjects. I like having that interaction and I enjoy that. But it was nice to I see that person over there, but I kind of like what's, and kind of fill those corners and those frames a little bit more strategically. And I loved how compressed things look too. It was, really special. So you will not hear me crap on the 50. I highly recommend it. I think then that's a really cool combo. The 28-50 is, oh my goodness, a really special. For any dual shooters out there that have two cameras, that I feel like is a really powerful setup.
Great.
Yeah.
You can't knock it till you try it. Isn't that the saying?
Facts.
Yeah.
I'll never do that again.
And it's just so much better with rangefinders. Just one last little note on that. With rangefinders, you're not seeing through the lens. Like if you're shooting a 50 on an SLR, it feels real tight. But when you have those frame lines and you get to work around that, it's a really cool way to shoot. It's a really fun way to shoot.
Yeah, that's so true. Yep. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Interesting. You have to try it. So I wanted to know your thoughts about the new M6, because I've been lusting after it, although I'm leaning back into my M4. I'm trying to, Sunny 16, I'm really trying to zone focus. So when you're talking about that workshop, you got to put in zone focusing for dummies, because I'm not brave enough to go out and be like, I don't know if this is in focus, so it's I'm holding myself back. Anyway, thoughts on the re-release? Pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah. It's huge. I think it's so massive in 2023, and came out too. But still highly, highly digital photography space. That one of the big dogs, And I think there's rumors of Pentax dropping a new film camera.
Oh yeah,
you guys heard that?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
But just the fact that Leica took that risk and wanted to re-release in their version one of the more iconic film cameras they've ever made. And to be a part of that was an absolute dream and an honor, and a moment that will be with me for the rest of my life, and that I'll get to show Ollie someday. And I'm just excited to have been a part of that. And I think that's just such a big win for the film community. And I hope Pentax and Canon even, or Nikon, can bring back some of their iconic film cameras. I think one of the biggest things that gets me excited about it is I still have my M6 Classic. The new M6 is designed off of the M6 Classic, not the TTL version.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So parts were getting slim, repair more expensive. Now that they have brought back the new M6 designed around the Classic, we now have all of these new parts available for anybody that holds the old 80s, 84, 85, 86 M6 Classic. So that, I think, is massive. It is so huge that we now have all these new fresh parts. And that we can continue to shoot film. Because the M6, the new one is fantastic. It's got a new body design or new material.
It feels very different. I held it in New York when I went.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's just, obviously, the sensor is really nice. No, but it's, there's nothing. It feels like a M6 Classic, aside from a few different material differences, but it's, the shutter dial spins in the same way. Everything looks and feels the same. It's a different type of leather, I think, but no, it's great. I'm so glad that it happened, because I think that I don't know what it's done to the secondary market of the M6 Classics. Have you guys seen a drop in those prices now that
slightly, if anything, slightly. Yeah.
So I definitely recommend it. I would even maybe go for an M6 Classic, because now that their new ones are there, it's probably going to be $2,000 to $3,000 cheaper. And we have now all these new parts that if you ever need it, fixed or worked on, that's going to be accessible. So more new film cameras in the market is a good thing. I think that just continues to change the landscape. And now that Pentax is going to drop one, their own version of whatever, I think that's huge. And I hope other people follow suit, because film is here and it's here to stay.
Love it.
Amen.
Speaking of cameras.
Yeah.
So you're going to ask me what I think you're going to ask me.
Yeah.
Because I've been wanting redemption.
Good.
Which I don't know if you remember what I said or what I answered back in 2018. Hopefully it's the same question, but we'll see.
I can't remember. I'm usually pretty good at remembering.
I'm assuming we know, but if it was, well, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Give it to him.
So
and then we'll
it's the camera question is a two-part question. I don't think it was a two-part question.
No.
It wasn't a two-part.
One part, I think.
Yeah. So the first part is the desert island, the one camera you can't live without. And well, what was your answer last time? I want to know.
My answer, RIP, was the Leica M10. I went digital.
Oh.
Scandal. Scandal.
That's why I didn't remember.
Yeah, we blacked it out.
Who is this jabroni there? No, I was like 2 months into getting that camera, and so it was just fresh on my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I was so excited about it. And unfortunately, I said the Leica M10, which is still a great camera, actually. But no, for me, it's the Leica MP. Camera. Right around the time of the M6 release, I just have been dreaming about the black paint MP ever since I've
Yeah.
And to know that, you know, I will probably be shooting Leica for the rest of my life to buy because at that point I was buying old M6s that probably had 2, 3, 4, 5 owners at that point, had their own marks and impressions on it.
Yeah.
Like to buy a new camera, which this one was brand new to me, for the next several decades or the rest of my life, this will
Right.
my wear and tear that will carry my impressions on where I lay my thumb on the back, load it, or how I choose to set it down as hard or softly as I want. Like, to know that that will age with me is just something that I've wanted for a long time. And I like, you know, a few style differences. I like the metal.
Uh-huh. See, I love that. Yep.
I don't like, no, because on my classic over there, I got the MP. I just didn't like that little plastic bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't stand the plastic part.
Yeah. Aside from this, the MP and the M6 are virtually the same thing. It's like,
right.
Because it's a film camera, there's no sensor. Like, it's the same. I mean, the rewind dial is different, but people always ask, M6 or MP? It honestly does not matter. It depends on the glass. That's a big
I think at that point, it's like personal preference too. Like, I like the red dot. I like the old winder. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And that's kind of what people are paying for. But like, in terms of that, it's like, dude, let's. We're asking the wrong questions. We need to be asking what glass we're using, or what film stock we're using, or how we're
100%
film, or how we're like shooting at box speed. Are we pushing? Are we pulling? Like, those are the questions that need to be asked, not about the body. Because at the end of the day, you can grab an M6 Classic or a brand new MP or brand new M6, and they're all, and if you're using the right glass and the right film stock, they're going to be taking the same photographs.
Yeah,
exactly. True.
Dude, legendary camera. Love the MP.
Yeah.
Such a good camera. Man, so part two, it is the white whale. Is there a camera out there? I mean, I'm sure you've tried a million cameras. Is there a camera out there that you've always wanted to own or have and you just haven't had the chance, or one you had and it got away?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel pretty satisfied with my setup right now. I have the M6 and the MP. I will always have an M6. That will always be a special camera to me, and I will use it for the rest of my life. I'm pretty set on my medium format setup. Got a good, I really don't need any or want, but I feel like there's one that I think about at least once a week.
That's it. What is it?
My close friend Andre had it, has it still, I think. And I saw it for the first time 2021 in person and was just got to see him use it. But it is the Hasselblad super wide camera, the 38 fixed lens on the Hasselblad 36. Lee Friedlander used it. He's pretty iconic with that camera, but to have a 38 on a medium format, fixed. Also, it's all zone focusing. You can't pull focus. It's because of, I don't know
how wide it is. Yeah.
But I think what's a 38 on a medium format? Is that a 24 or like a 21?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Have a very wide, to see Andre's, you know, photos from it and his frames from it. I'm just like, and I got to see him work with it and I got to play around with it a little bit. I was like, and it's like a $4,000 or $5,000 camera setup, I think, maybe or a little bit less now.
Wow.
But that is one that I think about, I think about now with like, man, that'd be a really cool way to like put the majority of my work with Oliver through that camera. Like, if I just decide to like commit to an aspect ratio or to commit to a specific medium, like that'd be really cool. Like, I love Square. I have the little Yashica Mat LM.
Yeah, I love Square.
Square is such a fun format for me.
It is so fun.
35. 35 is my ride or die. You know, it is my desert. Like that, the Leica M6 or MP is the camera I'll take with me forever. But this the Square format is so fun, and I would love to on a 38 wide but like no focus, like it's just zone.
Yeah, yeah.
All you can do. So I think that'd be a really fun way to just document life and landscape, street, portraits. So I think that's the one. I think it's, I forget the exact name. It's like Hasselblad SWC 905.
Yeah, I'm looking that up as soon as we're done. Yeah.
Have you guys, any of you guys used it or shot it before?
No, I've never even heard of it.
What? Yeah, SWC, super wide camera is what it stands for. Yeah, and it's super...
Okay, yes, I've seen this camera before. I've seen it. I've never seen it in person, though.
Oh, my
very,
gosh.
Very
so
neat.
Beautiful. Yeah, look at Lee's work with it.
All right.
He's kind of what who put it on the map, but I mean, it's so beautiful.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think it's that's
like a little baby. Little, yep. You know, very cool.
Yeah. So actually, I have seen it before in person. Andre borrowed it from the Cine Still Brothers.
Whoa.
Okay.
So I was like, I think I have seen it. Yeah. It's because he had the you know, the scope on the top.
On the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, what the heck is that?
Exactly. And it's just such a beautiful looking camera, too.
It so is. It's really neat.
That's cool.
I feel like by the end of the year, I could potentially pull the trigger on that. Just
there
I just
you go.
Wow.
It's always worth a try.
Cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What comes after that? I don't know. Joe, this has been fantastic. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're obviously busy with the little ones. We appreciate you carving out this time for us.
Yeah, thanks for coming back.
Absolutely, you guys. It's been so beautiful to chat with you again and to see all the changes in all of us. And I'm very honored that you guys wanted me to come back on. And I had an incredible time. So thanks so much for having me.
Amazing. Where can everybody check out? Where are you on the socials?
Just IOE Greer and IOE Street. Come say hey. Let's hang out. Let's chat.
Awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, Instagram, Twitter, at Timothy Makeups. Also some older YouTube-related video fun photography stuff over there. Easiest way to find that, just Timothy Makeups in the search bar. TimothyMakeups.com. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We're Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram.
Yep.
And that's it. Thank you, Joe. This has been fantastic.
Yeah,
we can't wait to see you document your little one. I can't wait to watch all that unfold. It's going to be so beautiful. All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that's going to wrap up this week's episode. First off, Chris and I would like to thank Joe for coming back on the show. Dude, it was so great to catch up with you, get an update, talk about things we didn't get to talk about in the first episode. Just an all-around great conversation. And you're such a great dude, Joe. We're huge fans. We love you. Thanks again, man. Really appreciate it. Guys, it's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights. We do have a bunch of stuff in the archives over there, and like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. Again, patreon.com/analogtalk. It's great to be back. We took a little bit of a spring into summer break. We're gonna be coming back hard here. We got a bunch of episodes, a bunch of awesome guests for you guys. Sorry that the recording was a little dodgy on this. Not sure what happened. There were some dropouts of Joe's audio, and it was just a bummer, but still a great conversation that we wanted you guys to hear. Joe, thanks again for coming on the show, and until next week, we will see you with an all new episode. All right, guys, later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.